With SDPB News, I'm Josh Chilson. Two Rapid City schools are increasing security measures. They're adding metal detectors students will need to walk through before entry. It's a matter administration says will increase safety for the facilities in an era of threats against schools. SDPB's CJ Keene has more.
Considering two Rapid City elementary schools were placed under secure status this week, the move comes at a time of tension relating to school safety features. While this decision wasn't made because of that event, it's still a matter Rapid City Area Schools Superintendent Jamie Jo Thompson says is front of mind for district admin.
There is nothing more important than the safety of our students and our staff. And so we're always looking at ways to improve that. Our buildings are always in a modified secure status all day long. But when there is something in the community surrounding a school, we're able then to lock down that building even further.
The two schools receiving these improvements are Rapid City Central and Rapid City Alternative Academy. That notably leaves out Stevens High.
The layout of the building at Stevens, it's really not conducive to weapons detection systems at this point. However, that is part of our broader plan. Once we are able to do some construction and some remodeling of that building, we'll be able to add weapons detection systems there as well.
Matters like the number of entry points and floor plans are key for determining which buildings are best suited to this kind of security measure. Thompson describes this as a proactive measure rather than one made from fear of the current school safety situation. Meanwhile, this comes at a time when some are asking questions about the efficacy of similar security measures, privacy for students and faculty, and increased police presence in schools. Thompson says it's important to remember that this is not punitive.
If you are feeling some sort of stress about it, talk to an administrator or to an SRO, and they can probably help alleviate some of that stress.
The project is funded via a grant and will, if passed, be supplemented by a bond issue the district is pitching to voters. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
A group calling itself South Dakotans for Fair Taxes is launching a referred law campaign. The group seeks to overturn a new law that uses a scheduled sales tax increase for property tax relief. Dakota Rural Action, a grassroots political group, is listed as an affiliate organization. Other groups aiding the effort are Bread for the World SD and AFL-CIO. That's according to a Facebook post from Dakota Rural Action. They're calling the bill a, quote, permanent wealth transfer from the state's working families to the most affluent homeowners. According to state law, the effort needs to collect a little over 17,500 signatures 90 days after legislative session concludes. That deadline is June 28. If they're successful, state voters will have the option to vote down Senate Bill 245 in the November election. State investigators are ruling two Sioux Falls police officers were justified in shooting at a suspect during an arrest. The Attorney General's office says police were looking for the suspect, Richard Olson Jr., for violating federal parole. Officers located him March 31st outside a Sioux Falls business. Police say Olson was in a vehicle and could be seen pointing a gun at himself. He got out of the vehicle and ignored officers' commands. Investigators say he then pointed a pistol at the officers. The officers opened fire but did not hit Olson. Olson then tried to run but was arrested with the help of a canine unit. He was hospitalized for treatment. No officers were hurt. A state DCI investigation found the officers were justified using lethal force in the incident. Attorney General Marty Jackley releases proposed explanations for two constitutional amendments set to appear on the South Dakota ballot in November. One of these amendments would create a trust for the state's unclaimed property fund. The other would clarify that an individual must be a U.S. citizen to be eligible to vote. The Attorney General is required to produce explanations for every question appearing on the state ballot. You can read the full explanations and offer public comment on the Attorney General's website. The State Department of Veteran Affairs is holding a series of discussions to engage with veterans, SDPB's Jackson Dirks reports.
The South Dakota Department of Veterans Affairs is trying to connect veterans to benefits. These have come in the form of an initiative called Coffee and Camaraderie. While the concept isn't new, the branding under that label is. Jeremiah Schneider is the South Dakota Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary. He says the hope from holding these events is to bridge the gap between veterans, their families, and the state.
Veterans' benefits tend to change, and they change quite frequently. The VA is good at passing that information down. It's just at times it gets lost in translation because there's a lot of hands in the pot. So I think our goal is to get the changes out to the population, let them know what they have earned through their service, as well as their family members, and then bridge that gap to get them the services that they've earned.
Schneider told SDPB it's been more of a struggle to get wide participation in urban areas like Sioux Falls and Rapid City. However, rural areas and the statewide perception has been very good.
The rural populations seem to be, I would say, a hidden gem. This is a great opportunity for them to get together. They tend to come out, ask amazing questions. It's more of a very informal setting where they do feel like we can talk. We can talk as, you know, as people, not as the state of South Dakota and as veteran, but as brothers and sisters on what do they see.
He says each population area across South Dakota has different problems and issues to bring up to the VA. The coffee and camaraderie events are a way for the department to find solutions to the issues veterans experience.
So it's hard for us to see the entire state, and this is an amazing opportunity where we can go out and we can get direct input from them, which does help us formulate legislation. It allows me to bring things forward up. I mean, I have a direct communication line with other cabinet secretaries across the nation, which then goes up to the federal VA.
There are 4 events left through May. You can find details at vetaffairs.sd.gov. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks in Sioux Falls.
A high school student from Sioux Falls wins second place in the National Poetry Out Loud competition. Damian Dean is one of 9 students who advanced to the national finals after winning their regional semifinals and a state competition. Dean is a senior at Washington High School. As a second place winner, Dean receives a $10,000 award, and his high school receives $500 for poetry materials. Poll watching offers a chance for citizens to be directly involved in ensuring the security of elections. As this continues to be a hot-button issue in Pierre, the state chapter of the ACLU wants to teach South Dakotans how to get involved. SDPB's CJ Keene reports.
2 classes are being led by the ACLU of South Dakota, one on either end of the state, to help get citizens ready for an opportunity to keep tabs on their local elections. Samantha Chapman is the chapter's advocacy manager.
Our election observer trainings will train volunteers on what to look for at the polls on election day, how to track any issues that they're monitoring or observing, and how to report those issues in real time to the ACLU if necessary.
This comes at a time of increased scrutiny on South Dakota's elections, with policy passed this year that Chapman says could lead to more confusion than meaningfully safer elections.
Those laws aren't, in my opinion, restoring faith in our elections. I'd say rather they are creating more uncertainty and logistical challenges for voters. And so what we're seeing is some confusion on how these laws should be applied. We're seeing inconsistency in the ways that these laws are being applied by county auditors. A county auditor in Minnehaha County might apply the new voter registration requirements differently than the Pennington County auditor would.
While Chapman says it is her belief that elections in South Dakota are secure, that doesn't mitigate the need for fresh eyes on the ballot box.
Having election observers at the polls, regardless of who it is, does ensure a little bit of objectivity in the way that our election administrators are doing their jobs. But additionally, having election observers who really reflect the community that they're a part of can be really helpful in making people feel more comfortable and safe.
There are 2 training sessions planned for the coming days. The first is this Saturday, May 2nd, at the Siouxland Libraries in Sioux Falls at 1:00 Central. Then Sunday, May 17th at 12:30 Mountain at the Rapid City Public Library. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
That's your daily SDPB News Update. I'm Josh Chilson.